In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
In the gospel reading, we hear about a man who was suffering from paralysis, but he also had a spiritual blindness because he was telling Christ that he didn't have anybody to help him. And yet he was looking at the very man who was there who could have helped him. This last week, we also read about a very well-known figure in the scriptures who had a similar spiritual blindness, and that was St. Paul. Now, St. Paul is most commonly referred to by his Roman name, Paul. He was a Roman citizen, but his Hebrew name was Saul, and we hear that in the scripture reading that we heard this last week that talks about his conversion. His conversion is a very well-known story, but unfortunately, even though it's become proverbial, a lot of people talk about Damascus Road experiences, but they don't really know what that refers to. But that's referring to this very account. We're told that St. Paul was a very vehement persecutor of the church, and when we read about the martyrdom of St. Stephen, we read that St. Paul was there giving consent to what happened. But in Acts chapter 9, we read about how that changed. It says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threats and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way," in other words, if he found any Christians, whether they were men or women, "he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth. And he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Now, St. Paul was named after the first king of Israel, King Saul, who also happened to be the most prominent member in the history of Israel of the tribe that St. Paul belonged to. He belonged to the tribe of Benjamin. Most of the people who lived in the Holy Land at that time would have traced their ancestry to the tribe of Judah. But in the southern kingdom, which was the kingdom that had the most people who survived the invasion of the Assyrians and then later the captivity of the Babylonians, the Benjamites stayed with the southern kingdom because even though King David had taken the place of King Saul, there were still marital relations between the two royal families. And so those two tribes still felt like they had a stronger stake in the kingdom of Israel. And the Lord called his name twice, which we see this pattern throughout Scripture. You hear it in the Gospels. For example, in the Gospel that we read on all the feasts of the Theotokos, we hear the Lord saying, "Martha, Martha." In the Old Testament, when God spoke to Abraham, he would say, "Abraham, Abraham." It's a way of getting attention. Sometimes we even speak this way without even thinking about it. When we're trying to get the attention of a child, we say their name and we might say it more than once because we're trying to make it very clear that they need to listen, that you're addressing them. But unlike Abraham, who when the Lord spoke to him and said, "Abraham, Abraham," his response was, "Lord, here am I," St. Paul had a very different response. It says, and then he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He didn't know who he was speaking to. Abraham knew when God spoke to him who it was, but his response was, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." One thing that we see in the life of St. Paul is that while sincerity is a good thing, it's possible to be sincerely wrong, and we are surrounded by many people who are sincerely wrong. St. Paul was sincere in his zeal to persecute the Christians because he thought that they were distorting the true faith of Israel, but he was wrong. And when the Lord said to him, "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks," another way you could translate that is the goads. In other words, the imagery there is of an animal that's being prompted by its owner to move in a particular direction, but it's kicking against a goad, in other words, a sharp-edged object that's designed to inspire them to want to move forward, but it's just harming itself by kicking against the sharp-edged object. And this is what St. Paul was doing as he was resisting the Lord. He was harming his own soul. And it says, "And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men that journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man." So the people who were around him, they saw this light, they heard a voice, but they couldn't see the vision that St. Paul had. "And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man." In other words, the irony is he opened up his eyes, but when he opened up his eyes, he couldn't see a thing. "But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat, nor did he drink." We're not told about what was going on in St. Paul's mind during these 3 days, but you can just imagine, because he had spent so much effort and energy persecuting Christians. And yet we're told, when Christ addressed him and he realized who it was that he was speaking to, that he was trembling and he was astonished. And now he was sitting there blind, contemplating how wrong he had been, and no doubt repenting sincerely for the sins that he had committed against the Lord. And then it says, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judah for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him, that he might receive his sight." So in other words, the Lord is telling him that St. Paul is seeing a vision of a man named Ananias, and he's telling this to Ananias. He's saying, he's seeing a vision of you going to him. And then it says, "Ananias answered and said, Lord, I have heard many things of this man, how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Ananias was one of the very Christians that St. Paul had come to persecute. He had heard about what St. Paul was up to, and he was understandably very fearful. And he told the Lord about his fear, but the Lord assuaged his fear and told him, don't worry about it. God had a greater plan, and so St. Ananias bravely obeyed the Lord. We're told by tradition that he later became the bishop of Damascus. Now, one thing interesting about this passage is it talks about a street called Straight in Damascus. You might not know this, but if you go to Damascus today, you can still find that same street called Straight. And on that street, you'll find the headquarters for the Patriarch of Antioch. The Christians have been present in Damascus from the times of the apostles up to the present day. And unfortunately, our government in the last 10 years has engaged in policies that have seriously threatened the future existence of these Christians that are there. And so we should pray that God would protect these people, and we should also let our politicians know that we don't want them doing stupid things that get Christians killed, which they've been doing consistently over a period of several presidencies. We need to let them know that we oppose these things. And whether they're doing it because it's malicious or whether they're doing it because they're just ignorant of what the effect is of their actions, that's for God to judge. But the result is the same. Whether it's stupidity or maliciousness, it needs to stop. And we need to ask our politicians to be accountable to the results and be accountable to us and to listen and not continue to do things that result in the Christian population of the Middle East being wiped out. There were 10% of the population of Syria was Christian before this war. It's gone down significantly. 10% of the population of Iraq was Christian before we invaded it. And now it consists of maybe a little bit more than 100,000 people. We need to stop this, and we need to let our government know that they need to stop this. And then it says, "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it were, scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. This is another one of these proverbial sayings where we talk about the scales falling from their eyes. Basically, what it refers to is when someone has an eye-opening experience. In this case, St. Paul went from persecuting with all of his might and all of his effort the church to becoming the church's greatest advocate. And this is one of the great proofs of the resurrection, because there's no doubt by any serious historian that St. Paul was an historical figure, or that he persecuted the church, or that he became a great advocate of the faith. And so you have to ask yourself, well, how did that happen? What could cause someone to do that? And he tells us in his epistles, and he tells us, we read about it in the book of Acts. And you don't make up a story like that about yourself if it isn't true. You might make a story where you're the hero and make yourself look good, but people don't typically make up stories about how bad they were and how much they persecuted the thing that they now are advocating. Likewise, the apostles, it's not likely that St. Peter would have made up the story that he denied Christ three times. That's another one of those things that it's sort of like testifying against one's own interest in court. When you have that kind of testimony, it's you know that it's likely to be true, more likely to be true than most things. You might ask, why St. Paul? Why did the Lord choose to appear to him of all people? Well, we're really not told in Scripture. But we do know that St. Stephen, as he was being martyred, he prayed for those who were doing it. And this may very well have been an answer to that prayer. Like St. Paul, we need to come to know the Lord so that when we meet him, we won't have to ask, who are you? Because if we don't come to know the Lord in this life, in the next life, we're going to hear the fearful words, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. We need to come to know the Lord, and that means we need to spend time in prayer, we need to spend time reading the Scriptures, and we need to actively seek him out and strive to come to know the truth. And through repentance, our spiritual blindness can be healed. And we too can learn to live and to walk in the power of the resurrection, because Christ is risen. Amen.